Well, would you take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to 2 Timothy? Look at 2 Timothy. And we're going to be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 tonight. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17. As Paul's writing to Timothy, you recall that Timothy is basically his younger son in the ministry, so to speak. He's there to help mentor and disciple him along the way. And Timothy's now preparing to lead a church, and so he is giving him instruction along the way. Let's begin in verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Just underline that, by the way. Everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, I come to you and I thank you for this so important word from Paul as he's writing to Timothy, and writing with encouragement, also writing with warning, and just a spiritual look at the world that we live in. And Father, if we didn't know when this was written, it could have been written today, because the things that are mentioned here are exactly things that are going on around us. And sometimes it's very difficult in this world. Sometimes it's a struggle. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll lead us through the midst of this storm, through the difficult times, through the heartaches, through the trying times, and, Father, even through the times that you try us. And you hone us into the likeness of your Son. Help us, Father. Strengthen us to stand in you and to walk in you and to live in you and to rest in you. And Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your outline there, we're going to be looking at a couple of main things that Paul talks about to Timothy as he's writing him. And he's encouraging him in the best way possible, because real true encouragement doesn't just say, oh, you're doing great, everything's fine, you know. Sometimes real encouragement is getting down to really important things and being able to be honest with somebody and, you know, talk to somebody where they're hurting or struggling or whatever else. And that's the kind of person Paul was, led by the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, we ought to be doing the same thing. We ought to be encouraging each other, but also walking alongside of each other and lifting each other up. And sometimes it needs, you know, we need to, you know, get real with somebody and tell them the truth. And, you know, that's not always easy. But we live in a time right now where
we are being bombarded by
the ideology of this world, and they're trying in the hardest way possible to push God out of everything. I mean, they've already pushed him out of schools. They've already pushed him out of most of the assemblies of senators and the House of Representatives. He's been pushed out of most government offices. You can't even put up the Ten Commandments in a federal building. I mean, just think of what I just said. You can't put up the Ten Commandments in a federal building in a nation that was founded on God. And if you're gonna take it out of that, you got to take it out of the Declaration of Independence. You got to take it out of everything else. And that's what they're trying to do, actually. So we live in a time in this world that's difficult. There's no doubt about it. And these perilous times are described in verses 1 through 9. We just read through it, but I just want to bring out a few of the main things. The first thing is that there's, in the terrible times in the last days, people be lovers of themselves. Is that not true? It's not. It is. There's no doubt about it. People love themselves. And you don't
have to serve a God if you're the God. You know? And basically, it's a
total rejection of God himself. And what that does is it leads into every form of thought, every form of philosophy, every form of outward actions and inward thoughts and deeds. It's a total slap in the face of God himself.
And it's
going on.
And we
see it. I mean, I see it. I think you see it. I think most people who are walking with the Lord realize the times that we're living in. And all the more as we see that day approaching. All the more as we see his imminent coming, we need to understand that this is the time, this is the place that we've got to stand up.
We've got to do what's right every time. And we've got to tell people
why we do that. It's not just because we're a good person. It's not because we just decided that we're going to do what's right. It's because we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify him in our mortal bodies. But there is more and more and more a total rejection of God. In fact, when you read through verse 2, look at this. People will be lovers of themselves. In other words, they don't love God. They love themselves. They love money. They're boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, have nothing to do with them. You see, when you catalog the corruption in the first five verses there, it basically talks about all the things that we're seeing today.
Now, Paul was writing this
about 200 years ago, I mean 2,000 years ago, and it was happening then. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's still the same broken, sinful world that we're living in. But I believe there are patterns and there are times when it gets worse and worse and worse. I remember many years ago when I would take youth groups on ski trips, and we bring them up from Texas, and they've never seen snow, basically, And we'd pull up to the mountain, and they would just like, whoa, you know. And, of course, everybody that had never skied before had to take a half-a-day lesson on the ski slope. And one of the reasons why is because you may think you know how to ski, even if you've never skied, because it looks easy if you think you know how.
But it's not easy because you don't
fully comprehend that basically you have two pieces of wood on your feet that are waxed down and ready to slide on the snow faster than you could run or walk or drive a car or anything else. Once you get started downhill, you're going downhill. And you need to know that. And so, you know, of course, some of these teenagers think, we're good, you know, we'll be able to ski. In fact, I had this one little, he was a real short guy, but you know, he knew that he could ski, you know. I said, well, have you ever skied before? No, but I've watched videos on it. And I went, well, okay, that's good, but you need to take a half day lesson. I don't want to take a half day lesson. I said, well, then you won't ski because that's our rule and that's what we're going to do. So, man, he suffered through a half a day, you know, even in the process of going through the learning, he was just basically, I don't need this stuff. I can do this stuff. So the afternoon came. He says, I took my lessons. I'm going to go up on the lift now. And I said, okay, Matt, go ahead. And so I got on the lift right behind him. And when he got up to the top, you know, they had told him how they're supposed to get off and all that. But once he got up to the top, he was kind of frozen and he didn't know. And he didn't get off. And so the lift turns around and starts back down. And then he decides, I'm going to get off. And he slips off the edge and he's holding on to the lift with one arm. And I'm going, oh, my God. You know, I'm going to lose one right here. I mean, this is going to be the end of my ministry. But fortunately, he wasn't that high off the ground at that point. They stopped the lift immediately. And then they brought in a real fast an air mattress under him, and he dropped and fell on it. And like, I'm okay, I'm all right. You know, we're going like, this is why you have to take lessons. This is why you need to do what you do. But most people don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to wisdom and knowledge and understanding. They don't want to read God's word. You know, that's old fashioned. We don't need that. You know, we're erudite and intelligent enough to figure all this out. No, you're not.
There's been a lot more intelligent
people than you that have messed up big time and missed God completely in their lives. And when they stand before God, it won't matter how many degrees you have after your name and how many letters. It won't matter how often you went to school and how many essays you wrote and how many theological speeches that you made from your point of view. It won't matter. What matters is, do you know God? And if you know God, it makes a difference in your life. And so we've been talking about completely abiding in Him. But these people are totally rejecting God. And because of that, there is a moral collapse. And we see that all the time. We see people standing and shouting and doing all the things that they do saying that they have the right to do those things. Well, everybody has a right to do something. But if it's hurting you and if it's hurting somebody else, it's not good. And that's what's happening. It's a moral collapse. It's a breakdown of society. And it was happening in these days as Paul was writing Timothy. It's happening in these days today. It goes on and on. It repeats itself. It's like we're looking in the same mirror over and over again, seeing what we ought to correct and we don't correct it, as James says. And in many ways, people have become religious rebels. Now, let me just say what I usually say about religion. Religion is trying to do enough things that you think God will accept you. But God, He's not interested in religion. He's interested in a relationship with you. And unfortunately, most of the people that look at the situation of the world and think that they need to be religious to have some form of godliness, that, you know, what the Scripture says here, it says that they have a form of godliness, but there's really nothing. They deny the power of it. Paul says, don't have anything to do with them. It looks like religion. It looks like godliness, but it's not. Because what they're doing is they're literally just helping themselves, trying to help themselves be good enough that somehow they'll be acceptable to God. Then he makes the condemnation of the apostate leaders. In verses 6 through 9, he talks about the things that they do. He says, there's the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women and weak-willed men, by the way, who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Let me just tell you this. I probably don't say enough about this sometimes, but whatever it is, whatever the situation is, that theological acknowledged people can come up with some kind of an idea and to try to push that down the throat of people and say, this is what it means. Well, why don't
you listen to what
God says? Because what God says is way more important than what you say. You see, if you're saying something that is in opposition of what God says, you're not right. Ever. God didn't make any mistakes. So what they do is they prey on the weak. They look for weak-willed people who are unstable or gullible. And basically what they do is they, with their, you know, theologian accreditation or whatever else, they push themselves forward as the authorities of knowing what the Bible really means. And it's because I have a PhD after my name, or it's because I have all these other letters after my name, so I know all of these things. Folks,
it doesn't matter how many letters
you have after your name. What matters is, do you know God? And are you following Him? So these people prey on the weak. The weak-willed, who are unstable and gullible, they're not new, even if they proclaim to be. See, even back in this day, there were many different people who were coming into the churches and trying to teach them things that, well, Jesus didn't really, He wasn't really resurrected. Or, you know, how can we just believe a few people who said they saw Him later? You know, we just need to stick with the religious things that we've learned as growing up. And they came in trying to teach all these things. And they sounded good in their arguments, and they sounded good in the things that they would say, but they weren't good at all. These arguments are not new, even if they proclaim to be. They have temporary success. And there were many of these churches that Paul would write that were struggling because there were people coming in and teaching these kinds of things. And he said, listen, do not listen to these things. Listen to what I've already told you. Listen to what God's Word says. We live in a time like that. There are churches all over this nation. There are churches all over the world that have been taken away from the main thing. Somebody told me many years ago, and I believe it with all my heart, when you're talking about God's Word, you've got to make the main thing the main thing. And if you get off on some kind of tangent or some kind of philosophy or some kind of, you know, diversion, you're going to end up at the wrong end of the road, and you're going to be missing everything that God's wanting to say to you. And so Paul just outwardly condemns these apostate leaders. And I would say that if there's anyone who would tell you that you can be saved and then lose your salvation, they're apostate. If there's anyone who says that they're saved, but there's other people that won't be saved because God doesn't want to save them, they're apostate. They're not telling the truth. They're telling a portion of the truth, but not all of the truth. So if you only say a portion of the truth and not all of the truth, are you truthful? No. That's like the little boy whose mom says, son, did you take the trash out? Yes, Mom, I did. Well, how come it's still sitting over there, you know, where we keep the trash? Oh, well, I didn't take it all the way out. I just took it part of the way out. Well, then you didn't take it out, did you? No, ma'am, I didn't. In the same way, we've got to make sure that we stand up for what we know is right. And how do you know that? Because it's always in God's Word. Always. He covers everything that we ever needed to know about anything. So in perilous times, we've got to look to Him. So Paul then kind of gives him three survival strategies, especially when the onslaught is coming. And, you know, in church history, there's been different times of onslaught, different times of the evil one trying to come and tear down the church and split it apart. So, and this is good for us because in the midst of this pandemic that we went through and I guess are still going through, according to the news sources, people started pulling back from everything. I'm not going to get into all that, but I just want to say this. We need to do what God says. And He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as you see that day approaching, do. We'll meet together and encourage one another. So here are some strategies. Follow godly leaders. Now, who are godly leaders? Look at what it says in verses 10 through 13. You will, however, know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from a couple of them. No, it doesn't say that, does it? He rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not probably, not we hope so, hope not. You will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we've got to follow godly leaders. First of all, they are above board. Paul says, you know everything about me. I didn't come in and try to trick you into believing something. I told you everything about me. I used to be the one who was persecuting you and the church. I don't deserve to even be here. And yet God called me, forgave me, and now He's equipping me. They have to be above board. And they have to teach the truth. Not a form of truth, not a partiality of truth, but they need to speak the truth. And they need to do what they say. I mean, there's countless examples of people who stand in front of large crowds and proclaim certain things, and then you find out something about them later, and they're not even in the ministry anymore. And it's just, you got, if you're going to speak the truth, you got to live the truth, right? And the only person that knows the truth is the person who's doing it, and God Himself. And He'll hold every one of us accountable. Whether you're standing in a pulpit, whether you're sharing with somebody in your Sunday school class, wherever it is, God's going to look at all of the things that we do. These godly leaders do what they say. And many godly leaders are persecuted because of it. I tell you what, if you make a strong statement, you're going to get bombarded by the other side. You're going to get lambasted, and you're going to have everything said about you, things made up about you. All those kinds of things are going to happen. We had a situation in Houston when we were there, and in our smaller town of Pearland where we live. I say smaller town, it's probably close to 1 million people now. But it was about 80,000 when we moved there in 1990. And the leadership was corrupt in the city. It was not good. And our pastor, who is Rick Scarborough, who will be here, by the way, at the end of September to do a men's ministry conference, he started going to the city council meetings and listening to what people were saying, and then when things didn't add up, he'd confront them about it. Not you know, in an angry way, but he'd say, well, wait a minute, didn't you say this? Isn't this what we're supposed to be doing? Well, you know, and people backtrack and they, you know, skate and do all the kinds of things that they do. And then they make up other stories and whatever. And I think the thing that got him most upset is he found out from his daughter that they were going to have a school assembly, and they were going to have a lady from the CDC come in and speak to all of the teenagers and tell them how important it was to use condoms and practices. That's not something that somebody ought to be coming in and telling a school assembly. You have little girls that are 14 years old. I mean, it's just amazing. And she made all these proportions of people that use
protection are 92% safe from getting any kind of
sexual disease or whatever. And he knew that was not right. And so in the middle of her presentation that day, he stood up and he said, I've got a question. And she said, who are you? He said, I'm Pastor Scarborough. I pastor First Baptist Church here in town. And she said, oh. And so anyway, he asked her multiple questions that she couldn't answer. And they finally shut down the thing, but not before she had said so many different bad things. And so on our marquee billboard outside, he put up there, come see what your kids are being taught at school. And that Sunday, our place was packed. We shared all the stuff that this lady had shared with, and people were in an uprage. And the next
Tuesday night, 2 nights later,
was the next school board meeting. And it
was stinking packed with people who were upset. They didn't know anything
about it. These kids were supposed to get a permission slip signed to be able to come to that deal, and they didn't. Nobody did. They knew they might have brought it home, but they hid it under, and they didn't check them. They didn't ask anybody when they came in, did you get your stores, your slip, or whatever. They let everybody come in and just get bombarded with all the stuff that this lady was saying. We've got to stand up for what's right. So, needless to say, about 6 of the 8 school board members didn't run for re-election, and they were all replaced by members of our church. And before long, the whole government of that town were godly people. And in fact, one of my close friends from the church there is the mayor of Fairland now, which is about, I think it's about 800,000 people there. And he's a godly man. He speaks the truth. They do everything that they're supposed to do according to God's law. And that we need people like that who will stand up and do what's right. And I know the tendency is for a lot of people to think, well, there's somebody else better equipped to do that than me. I'll let somebody else do that. If we keep letting somebody else do that, guess who's going to be doing it? The people who don't agree with the things that we agree with. He says, continue in what you have learned. You need to stay the course. In other words, don't get distracted. Don't get off kelter. Don't listen to somebody else who doesn't know God. But also don't be disturbed. I think one of the reasons that I don't watch a ton of news. First of all, I don't have a TV, so any news I see is basically on the computer. But I don't watch a ton of news because you're going to get all kinds of junk thrown your way by people who are paid to say what somebody else thinks is important. I mean, it's a lot different than news used to be when I was growing up. And, you know, what happens is it makes you irritated. It can make you mad. You know, there's too many things out in this world that makes me irritated and mad anyway. I don't need all that. What I need is to spend time in God's Word, and then He'll give me discernment as I see the things that are going on around me. And I'm just a lot better person when I'm not irritated all the time. You can ask my wife about that. I don't need that. What I need is His Word. What I need is spending time with Him. And I don't need to be disturbed by all the things that are going on, because these things are ultimately going to end. One way or the other, they're going to end. And, the greatest thing is, for 1,000 years, people will see what it's like to have a real godly leader, as Jesus will be on the throne. What a day that's going to be. Then in verses 16 and 17, basically, he's saying, let that scripture do its work in you because it's God-breathed. Theopneustos means out of the mouth of God. In other words, it's not out of the mouth of men. It's not out of the mouth of philosophers or hearsay. It's straight from the mouth of God. If you don't believe God's word is God-breathed, then you don't have anything to stand on. You don't have anything to stand on. This is God's word. It's not a portion of God's word that other people have added to and call it some other book. It's God's word. And if you don't believe that it's God's word, listen to what Jesus himself said at the very end of Revelation. Listen to this in chapter 22. It says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. But I warn anyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues that are described in the book. In other words, you're not saved and you're going to have to go through all this. And if anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which is described in this book. In other words, this is God's word. Don't add to it. Don't take anything away from it. If it's in here, it's good for us.
God breathed it all.
He exhaled his word so that we could hear it, so that we could know it, so we could read it, and so that we could obey it. Now, folks, there's a lot of people who know things about God's word, but they don't know God. It's interesting to me that many major colleges in this nation who are supposed to be teaching the truth, teaching real true things to their students, because why would you teach them a lie? Why would you? Depends on who your master is, okay? So it's amazing to me how many of those colleges and universities teach things that are the deciding point of it is whether I believe it's true or not. And so if they don't believe there's a God, they teach everything in an atheistic view. Everything. Doesn't matter what the subject is, they're not going to bring God into it ever. There's a good movie.
If you've not seen it, you should check it out.
It's called God Is Not Dead. And it shows a student who stood up in a philosophy class and challenged the philosophy professor with the truth of God's word. And everything the philosophy professor would come up with, he would answer God's word, the truth of God's word. And ultimately, that professor came to know Christ right before he died. We've got to stand up and do what's right, period. There's going to be difficult times. We're in them. There's going to be even worse. There's going to be, you know, if the economy continues to fail and no telling what kind of deals are being made with other countries. I mean, things are going to get worse. So how do we as Christians face that? How do we face these difficult times? We realize that there's always going to be people who are corrupt and who are always going to be leading people in the wrong way and feeding on the weak people. But we also know that God is true and He's our faithful witness. And if we'll stick with God's word, no matter what's going on around us, He will be with us. He will bless us. I mean, look at Paul himself. 13 books in the scripture are written, penned by him. Why? Because he was walking with God. in the midst of all the trials that he was going through, thrown in jail multiple times, beaten multiple times, taken outside the city, stoned to death, and he didn't die, thrown off a ship at sea. I mean, everything that he went through, he just continued to keep his eyes on God, speak the truth. There's not really anything better than we could do. We just got to keep our eyes on God and speak the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this picture that we see in this letter to Timothy. And I realize, Lord, that we are going through difficult times, and I don't think they're going to get a lot better. I think they're probably going to get a lot worse because people are selfish, and they think about themselves only, and they're not worried or give even a thought to you. But Lord, it's even more important for us as Christians to stand up and to speak the truth, to become men and women who will not back down, who will say what needs to be said with the love of God from their hearts and share you with everyone who will listen. Because you are the way and the truth and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through you. And I pray, Father, you'll help us do what you've called us to do. It's not an easy task. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, but it's not. So I pray you'll help us, Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.